I know we only have a few minutes here, and I don't propose to give any long lecture, but just a few verses that might be helpful to our souls. I'm thinking of the subject of reward, which is too large and extensive to develop in a short time, but it is a distinctive truth of Scripture. There's various verses that bring before us the subject of reward. Paul said that he wanted to finish his course with joy and to fulfill the ministry which the Lord had given him to accomplish. And we know that the Apostle Paul did that. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. Now, reward is not a motive for our service. I think we are clear about that. It's often been pointed out. It's not a motive for service, but it truly is an incentive, an encouragement. Because God has given us various talents. He has entrusted us with abilities, with a work to do, a burden to bear. Every man has his work, his place to fulfill in the body of Christ. A work that is different than anyone else's. But you can be happy in that work the Lord has given to you. It's not a question of coveting someone else's position or work. God has put you in the body, and He's given that member an office to fulfill. It may not be in the public sphere, prominent. We tend to have our judgment formed by the platform, that is, those who are able to deliver an address publicly are looked up to more so than others. But Scripture doesn't support that thought. Every one of us is a servant of the Lord. Every one of us has a work to do. And we read in 1 Corinthians 3, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Verse 13, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That is the judgment seat of Christ, which takes place after the rapture, after we are present with the Lord. Our lives will be reviewed. I've often said, our sins will never be brought up to condemn us. They're buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness, in the depths of the ocean. But our works will be brought up. They will be resurrected to be manifest, not for condemnation, but for reward or for loss. How a child of God will suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ, I do not know. But the Scriptures say clearly, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Lot is the prime example there. He was a believer. He was a righteous man that vexed his soul every day by the filthy conversation of Sodom, trying to change the character of that wicked city where he should never have been. But he wanted to improve the world, and he sunk down to the level of the world. And he lost his testimony and lost his family. And he was just saved by the skin of his teeth. A saved soul, a lost life. None of us, I am sure, want to end our Christian pathway in that way. but it's possible. We want to have a life that will tell for eternity, that will glorify our Lord Jesus here in this world and abide into that coming scene, regardless of how small the service may appear in the eyes of men. God has recorded in the book of remembrance everything you have done for him. As we said, the debit side has been canceled, but he's adding to the credit side there in the records, the annals of eternity. He is recording every act of devotedness to the Lord. This morning we had the remembrance, beautiful meeting, and the sisters did not publicly participate. That would be disobedience to the Word of God. But they are an integral part of the meeting, and every thought on the Lord this morning was recorded, whether it be by sister or brother. Every thought, Malachi chapter 3. And so, let us remember that we are living lives in view of eternity. I've been studying the book of Ezra and Nehemiah lately, and you see some long, tedious lists of names that sometimes don't mean very much to us. We pass over them rather quickly and find it kind of laborious to read them, but you know there's a lesson in those names. Those people who left Babylon, that city of idolatry, and made the long journey because they valued the name of the Lord Jesus, and they took that journey to Jerusalem and found it in a state of ruin, but they obeyed the word of the Lord and they desired to be where he had placed his name. Not everyone from Babylon returned. Their names are recorded there in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. God took notice of that sacrifice, of that desire to be where he was, to act in accordance with his word, to be restored to the ground of the truth, we might say. And so it is today. We are a feeble remnant at best, but God values every act of devotedness. Your presence at the meetings is a joy to the heart of God, will be rewarded. While at a conference like this, as our brother Wally mentioned, our hearts are uplifted. It seems that we're drawn more to the Lord and to one another in the bonds of Christian fellowship. And it seems easy to go on for the Lord when we're sitting in a conference like this. But we're going back, brethren, to our home meetings. It may be very small, week after week, the same little company, probably not much gift. That's not so important anyway. But there's not the numbers to encourage us and support us. But the Lord is the same. Young people, your meeting may be very small. It may be only a handful, and you might not have the fellowship that many have in the systems around us with all their activities. The Lord values your faithfulness in remaining there week after week. That's when the test comes. The Lord is the same when you get back home to your home meeting as he is right here in the conference. So be encouraged to press on and to be there present as often as possible. You know, I can remember in my earlier years of being gathered in Ottawa, certain brethren that they weren't gifted. They didn't take a lot of part publicly in the meeting. They didn't seem to have that ability. But their presence there, their warm handshake, their faithfulness in being attending the meetings through thick and thin, was a great encouragement to me. I won't mention names, but what do we contribute to the meeting where we are? You know, we come looking for something, but let us be exercised to contribute something. And your presence at the meeting is a contribution in itself. I was just thinking to close, because time has gone, that in Revelation 19, we won't take time to dwell upon it at any length, but you remember that the marriage supper of the Lamb is mentioned here, and details given of that appearance of the bride in all her beauty there after the judgment seat of Christ, when our lives will be manifested, the rewards will be given, the crowns will be apportioned, only to be thrown at the feet of our blessed Lord, but the rewards will then have been provided. But notice, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous, this should read, the righteousnesses of saints. There she is, in all her bridal beauty, and that fine linen, clean and white, is the righteousnesses of saints. Here it is not divine righteousness, which we possess through the work of Christ, a righteousness that we stand in before God, perfect and accepted. This is not the righteousness mentioned here. This is our conduct in this world, our works, our good works, that we may have forgotten about. Doesn't matter if you forget about it. God will not forget your work and labor of love. He does forget our sins, but he won't forget our work and labor of love. And so here, the bride is displayed in all her beauty. But what is that beauty? It's what she has done in this world. It's her conduct, her life, our lives, shall we say. We are preparing our wedding dress. A young lady is going to be married in a few months, and night after night she works in the home on her wedding dress. No one sees what she is doing. She stitch after stitch, laboriously works on that dress, and the day comes, the wedding day, when she is displayed, when everything is seen publicly. Our lives are going to be seen publicly in that day, brethren. And God will reward faithfulness. We are now preparing our dress. And may there be in our lives that that separation from this present evil world. And may we have our hearts attracted to Christ, not only at these meetings, but day by day. The test comes when we go back to our home assemblies we encounter the same difficulties that we left behind. Whether it be in the assembly or at work or at school, they'll still be there. But the Lord is our captain. He's the captain of our salvation. And he is leading us through the wilderness. And if there is any little sacrifice in your life or mine, there will be a reward for that. And we all desire that abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.